Hey, Michigan Maniacs. This is the Michigan Football Rant, and I am your host, Adam Brewer. Before we get into this episode, I just want to go over a little housekeeping. All right, guys. Right now, you'll find me on Instagram and Facebook. I'm also going to be way more active now on YouTube. I've been hinting at some things, and I'm finally narrowed it down to what I want to do. So I want to break it down to you right now. On YouTube. I will be downloading all reaction episodes from here on out. You guys seem to be loving every reaction episode I put out, and every quick hitter episode I put out are off the charts, both of them. So I will start with reaction episodes, and I will probably start putting quick hitters on there as well. Fantastic. The response you guys have been giving me lately is off the charts, and I just want you guys to know I really, really appreciate your support. So with that, go to YouTube and like and subscribe, and also go to Spotify and leave a star review. Hopefully it's a 5-star review. Follow there as well, and hit me up on the DM, and I will send you new stickers. And I have wrist bracelets, the ones that old Lance Armstrong used to have, but they are blue with the Michigan Maniac on it. And let's face it, this is the football rant, but we are all Michigan Maniacs. I will do that for free. You just got to hit me up, let me know where I need to send them, and I will do it for just simply thanking you for supporting me. Also, if you go to Spotify in the bio, you can hit the voicemail. Voicemail Mondays is going to be a thing. Please leave your voicemail, and I will create a whole episode around whatever voicemails I get. If I don't get any voicemails, it'll continue just to be Ask Me Anything. Either way, I'm hoping that you guys get involved. I want to be more I want to be more active with you guys. Okay. Also, you go to the bio in Spotify, and you can support this podcast for a mere $4.99 a month. I think there's three options: 99 cents, 4.99, and 9.99. Either one, I really don't care. Either one you want, you go ahead and support this podcast, and it will allow me to buy shirts, hats, and all the other stickers and bracelets that I can pay for. That's all I want to do is just give back to the Maniac Society that has been so good to me. So I appreciate you guys. Go through all this. If you can, let me know, and I will give back to you as much as I possibly can. Thank you so much for being the greatest audience ever. I mean, you guys have been fantastic. To me, you will always be the silent majority. There's a few of you I hear from constantly, but the numbers have just been increasing, and it is fantastic. It is getting to the point, it's getting to the point where we are almost pre-COVID numbers, and that's exciting. And I have only you to thank. So thank you very much, guys. Once again, go to YouTube, go to Spotify, like and subscribe on both, leave a review on both. Hit me up on the DMs, and I will send you new stickers and new rubber bracelets. You go and support me on the bio in Spotify. Pick any one of the three that is offered, and I will also send you a hat. Once the new hats come out, I want you to pick which one, and I will send them out. I just want to make you guys happy. That's all I want to do. So I hope we can just crush it. And I hope you love this week's episode.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, welcome to the big game, pre-game, the game. Yeah, finally. It is here, everyone. The game we've been waiting for all season long. Man. I don't even know. This is huge. This is probably the biggest game I have ever witnessed between a Michigan-Ohio game, that obviously other than the 2006 game. And for the life of me, I can't even remember, but I think I had my son that weekend, and I wasn't able to really watch the game. We had some, I can't even remember what it was, but he was involved in all sorts of stuff, and he was young. Man, he was only like 6, maybe 5. But anyways, getting on with this. Wow, this is huge. 11-0. Everything's on the line. I mean, this is what you go to Michigan to play for, right? These are the games that you, when you're in the backyard throwing the football to yourself, playing. Yes, I said to yourself because my little brother wouldn't play football with me or play catch with me. I know. Anyways, when you're in the backyard and you're envisioning catching the game-winning pass, this is the game that you envision being in if you're a young Michigan fan. Right, and I'm sure the same thing with young Bucknuts over there. Wow, and I think this is probably the most excited I have been for the game, maybe outside of last year. And I am extremely confident. What scares me is how confident I am that Michigan has a very good chance at winning this game. Last time I was this confident, it was 2018, and Ohio State had almost lost in, double overtime to Maryland the week before, and we came in, and they fucking browbeat us. So I think it was 62-39 or something crazy like that. They did exactly what South Carolina did to Tennessee this last week. It was crazy. And a complete and utter just shock and dismay. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I think that was, the revenge tour? Yeah. And injuries also was a big part of that game as well, with Chase Winovich not being hurt and not being 100% in that game. We had a lot going on in that 2018 game. The one good thing, that we do not have this year and makes me even more confident is we have no Don Brown, right? Old man Don Brown that might as well have posted everything he was going to do online and let everyone else just pick from it what they will, because everyone knew what he was up to and he didn't bother to change. We don't have that. We have Jesse Minter. Now, before we get into the game, I'd like people just to take a deep breath and relax, okay? This whole, what happened to the second half adjustments, did he forget how to coach? I mean, these are things I've heard through podcasts or other things on Twitter. How could they allow this many yards and this many points to an Illinois team? People. I mean, these are almost direct quotes, okay? People, Chase Brown ran for 149 yards, and that was it. I know it sounds like a big number. I get it. He had I said this in the last episode that I just did. He had one quarter where he did anything, and that was in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, just go back and look in the fourth quarter and see that the in-game adjustments by Jesse Minter were awesome because they did nada, nothing, zero, zilch. In the most important time when they needed to make a play, when the Illinois offense is supposed to have worn down the defense enough so he can make these big runs, nothing. Michigan's defense allowed him 12 yards. When they had a chance to cement the game, when we kicked the field goal with 3 minutes left and put the game in the balance of the game in the hands of our defense, what happened? We got the ball back in 4 plays. You know what I mean? Relax. They allowed 14 points in the third quarter, and that was it. Okay? Relax. This We are more healthy this year on the defensive side than we have ever been. I am a little worried about, I guess, Mike Morris. I would love to see him out there. I think he will be fine. I just don't know how, like, even if he's 80%, does that mean, does he get two, three quarterback pressures, maybe a sack? I mean, he's a big man who can make big problems for that Ohio offensive line. So I'm very curious about that. But our defense, I can't wait to see what Mason Graham does to this Ohio offensive line, right? I think we played a better defense in Illinois than what Ohio has right now, in my opinion. Now, my opinion, that's it. Now, I didn't do any of the research, but it just, in eyesight from what I've seen all season long watching both these teams, I definitely think that Illinois has a much better, not much better, but a better defense. I definitely think their defensive tackles are way better than Ohio State's. I think Ohio State does a 3-4, so they only have one D tackle in that. But still, I just think that the defense that we faced last week was better. I just think this is going to be fun. I really do. It's going to be nerve-wracking. I'm going to be scared to death. But I just think this is going to be fun. The weather right now looks like it should be pro Michigan, with it being anywhere between, I've seen it from 55 degrees all the way down to like 40. Great for a running team. The only thing that worries me is these are the games where when we would lose to Ohio, a few things were to happen. Unsung heroes or weird plays bounce a certain way, right? Like, what was that big boy's name? The quarterback that came in. Cardell Jones. That's his name. Cardell Jones. No one knew about him, right? And then they pull the quarterback, gets hurt. Cardell Jones comes in, has a great game, right? And then you had Dwayne Haskins, same thing. So it's the quarterbacks that come in and do something against us when we don't expect it. That's what gets me a little bit worried. Not that Ohio has anybody behind C.J. Stroud that I'm worried about. It's more like the Hayden kid, that running back Hayden, or that Stover kid. He's a tight end. For some reason, that kid comes up with big plays out of nowhere. People forget about him, and all of a sudden he's made like a 30-yard touchdown run or reception or whatever, and I just don't want to see an unsung hero come out of nowhere, right? And I definitely don't want to see like lucky plays break their way. Like when Dobbins, J.K. Dobbins comes busting through the line, fumbles the ball, and it bounces right back to him, like as if he was bouncing a basketball. That stuff usually breaks Ohio's way, let alone going into the toilet bowl and having a pro, and I mean a absolute fan-led ref team out there. Like the referees for that team, for that game in 2016, were absolutely 100% bought and paid for Ohio State Buckeye fans. 100%. Shit like that. We don't need that kind of stuff. You take that stuff away, and I don't see how we lose this game. I really don't know. Obviously, like I say this every week, if Michigan does not come to play, we will lose this game, and we will lose ugly if Michigan does not come to play. But I am telling you, this culture is changed from the 2018s to 2019s. The great cleansing of 2020 happened. And they got rid of all the energy vampires. They got rid of, coaching staff, players alike. If you weren't pro Michigan, see you later. Don't let the door hit you in the butt. And we had the great Aiden Hutchinson turn the culture around with Cade McNamara. And they created something that this team still believes and still works and still eats and still breathes in every day. This culture has changed. And that is the one thing that I truly believe was the main thing that stopped us in the Jim Harbaugh era from really beating Ohio State, other than the whole Don Brown situation. So I really do think that this is our year. I've been saying it for probably ever since I started this podcast. I said year eight, this is the year that Harbaugh is going to win the national title. Because I said you have to give him 8 years, kind of like Dabo had with Clemson, right? And this is the eighth year. I picked the eighth year on this is so this is the year. I'm not backing down from that. This is our year. Now, listen, there's a few things that need to happen to make sure that is our year, right? Michigan's defensive front, they have to be able to, whatever they do, they have to stop that running game for Ohio State. Now, listen, I don't think it's going to be that hard to do. But if you don't pay attention to Hayden, then he becomes that unsung hero, right? Then, because every year Michigan pretty much gets blown out by Ohio State, it's because the running game is just unchecked, unstopped. You can't, you know, like Ezekiel Elliott had a huge game against us in 2015. J.K. Dobbins, I think in 2018 and Mike Weber 2019, I believe. You know, those games where we get blown out is because Ohio State's rushing always outdoes Michigan's, right? And this year, I don't see that happening. Like, last year, I don't see that happen. Like, it didn't happen, right? I think there's definitely more pressure when it comes to winning this game on Ohio's side than it is on ours. So we got that going for us. I mean, to be quite honest, like, you've got Ryan Day. The Ryan Day pressure that he's probably feeling right now is got to be quite noticeable. I mean, because think about it, he's 1-1 against Michigan. That's it. He's 1-1 against Michigan. Now, he's been a part of winning Ohio State Buckeye teams, but as an offensive coordinator with Urban Meyer, he wasn't the head coach. So that's all that matters. Your record against Michigan, that's all that matters is as a head coach. You're 1-1. Now, last year you get dominated. You bring in a decent defensive coordinator for the sole purpose to stop Michigan's run, right? You're not that great at stopping the run in general this season. I mean, you know, Penn State ran it pretty well against them. I wish I had more. I even think Iowa did all right in spurts, right? Man, I really wish I would have paid attention to that one. That's kind of a whiff on my part. But anyways, you bring him in to stop the run. Michigan's run. That's it. If you don't win this game in Columbus, they will tar and feather him out there on the field. They will strip him naked and beat him with whips, with a cat of nine tails, right? Because you don't come in, Michigan does not come into Columbus and beat them in their heads ever. It just doesn't happen now. They have owned us since, I think, 2003 was the last time Michigan won in Columbus, I believe. Or it might even be, we might be at 20 years by now. Maybe it was 2001 or maybe even 2000. I don't know. It was like right in the early 2000s. So most kids have grown up and never seen the Buckeyes lose to Michigan in Columbus. So now that happens 2 years in a row, Ohio loses to Michigan, and the next, this one being at home, kicking them out of the playoffs, more than likely not with how crazy this playoff situation is. I mean, if there's going to be two Big Ten teams making it into the playoffs, the only way that's going to happen is if Ohio loses and we win. That's the only way I can see it, because the national media loves Ohio so much that when a stinky team like Clemson starts peeking their head in, because USC is probably going to lose to Notre Dame or Utah or whoever they play in the Pac-12 title game, that'll be a two-loss team. You know, then you got Clemson sneaking up. The only way that Clemson gets staved off is that Boo and his Buckaroos, I think, like the Buckeyes a little bit more. So a one-loss Buckeye team to the eventual Big Ten title winners and playoff team Michigan would be a better resume to get them in. The no matter what, if we lose this week, it's over. We it's done. We just got a bowl game. We've more than likely the Rose Bowl. That's it. This is everything. Like I said last week, the playoffs started last week, and we had everything. We had as much as we can handle with Illinois. Now, I don't know if that was solely because, well, I covered that in a reaction episode. We're not going to go over that. So, yeah, this is it. This is for all the marbles, man. But all the pressure is on Ohio to win this game. All of it. No one's picking Michigan to win. I think Michigan on the ESPN game tracker, or whatever it is, gave Michigan 28% chance of winning this game. I get it. It's been 20-something years since we've won there. I understand. But that means we can go out there and just go balls to the wall and play with abandon. Play out there just with aggression and hate on the field, never off, and just bust some heads and go and just play out of our minds. Because we have no pressure. There's no pressure on Michigan. Everybody and their mother, except and even most of probably Michigan media, is going to pick Ohio to win. I'm not. I don't think so, but still, the majority of the country is picking Ohio to win. So all the pressure's on Ryan Day. Ryan Day, who had the cheat codes. You know, Ryan Day is kind of like that coach from The Water Boy, who took like all the really good plays and based all his success off of that. And he was hoping that he can intimidate the loser coach, you know, the Fonz over on the other side. Well, the Fonz was Don Brown. He intimidated, I just think he knew everything Don Brown was going to do. He'd gleaned everything from him from the Boston College years, and he just knew what was going to happen. And ever since Don Brown's been gone, Ryan Day has not beat Michigan. 2020, the great cleansing happened. 2021, we beat him at home. He has not beat Michigan. The Michigan without Don Brown. The one that actually makes adjustments, that actually plays, where you don't know what's happening 20 minutes beforehand. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. He's never beat that Michigan. This is us. This is what Michigan is now. I can't wait to see what he's going to do. Will he choke? Is he going to get so flustered? Because that's when the depression and the self-doubt starts to creep in, right? And we may not see it, but I'm telling you, it's picking at him right now. Those people who suffer from depression understand this. And I'm telling you, and he does. He's had a long bout with depression, and I'm not even trying to make fun of him for that because I understand it. I really do. I understand, though, that there's pressure on this man. More than there's ever been any pressure on any Ohio State coach ever, right? Urban Meyer was a legend. Urban Meyer was never going to lose to Michigan, even if he had to buy the refs, if he had to buy everyone out, right? He was never going to lose to Michigan. Sweater vest, don't even get me. That guy was unbelievable as a coach. I hate them all, but they were dirty to the right point and they got all the right stuff done. And I just, whatever. I don't even want to talk about how good that is. That just annoys me. But Ryan Day has all the pressure in the world right now. If he doesn't beat Michigan this game, he may not come back to Ohio next year. He may take a job in the NFL. I'm not kidding. You think Ohio State is going to lose 2 years in a row to Michigan and especially kick them out of the playoffs 2 years in a row? You think that's going to go over okay with those psychos over there in Columbus? Not even close. It's not happening. So I think that part right there, that's the unspoken thing that's going to help Michigan. How does Ryan Day deal with that pressure? Does he come up with a great game plan? Does he crumble underneath the unseen depression and pressure that comes with all that stuff that goes on with it? I don't know. We're going to see. I think it's an interesting thing that no one's talking about. You know, but what I would like to see legitimately is I would like to see Michigan hop on him early and just not let it go. Because like I said in one of the previous episodes, the more we control the ball, the more the efficiency with, you know, you have the percentage or can't even remember how I put it, but you have limited time to be efficient in this game with the less time you have the ball, right? So the pressure of efficiency. You have to make plays instead of, okay, next time we'll get it, right? Or next time we get the ball, we can make up for this. Well, if you only have the ball, like, what, 12 minutes, 15 minutes out of the game and Michigan controls the ball for the rest of it, you better hope to God you score those points. Because if not, pressure of efficiency comes into play. How efficient are you with your three downs that you get? Will you be forced to make more fourth down plays in areas that you more than likely wouldn't, because you know if you punt the ball, you won't see it for another 7 minutes? The pressure of efficiency plays a part in all these games, and that we're not talking about it enough. Time of possession is huge in a game like this. It's huge. Because like I said, especially for Michigan, Michigan better win the time of possession battle in this. Because if they don't, we don't have an offense built to be good with pressure of efficiency. If we only have three plays per drive, we're screwed. We can't go down the field in 1 yard, in like one pass down play and get 60 yards on a pass. Because we don't have any wide receivers who can catch the ball, let alone get open more than 10, 15 yards down the field. We don't have them. There's no one there. Ronnie Bell, fantastic. Anywhere from 0 to 15 yards can get open. Great route runner in that position. But that's it. Good tight end play. But that's it. Please, somebody. I thought Roman Wilson was going to come in and be that deep threat. Not doing it. They say can run a 4-4, 4-3 even. Can't get open. Can't get open. Andrew Anthony, supposed to be compared to, which is so, it's almost a slap to the face of Braylon Edwards to compare what Andrew Anthony at one point was being compared to Braylon Edwards. I'm at fault too. I'm at fault for comparing this kid to the great Braylon Edwards. He has done zero bupkis. Cannot catch the ball. Can't do it. We have nobody. If we don't control the time of possession, we are screwed. We will lose the game. But good for us is that we have an offense completely designed to, one, beat Ohio State, and two, control the ball. But the only thing that worries me is the health of the two running backs that we need to run the ball. So right there, health scares the hell out of me. And if we lose this game, it won't be because Ohio State was just so much better than us. It was because our injured players couldn't come back at a higher rate and contribute the way they would normally contribute. I think Corum's going to be fine. I really do. And I'm hoping, I'm praying every day that's the case. But then you've got Donovan Edwards. Now, this says that he has a bone broken in his hand, or that's the rumor, right? Well, last time I checked, he's our only threat to catch the ball. He's the best wide receiver we have, and he's our running back. So if he has a broken hand and that's going to look like a club when he's out there, how does that help? If he's going to carry the ball, how does that help? So do our injuries stop us from getting to the next level? That was one of my concerns, right? One of my main concerns of this game. Are we too injured to be in this game? I don't know. I guess we'll find out, right? That is the great question. Is there enough cortisone shots or steroid shots to numb things up to where you can feel amazing for a day and then worry about it later? I hope there is. I don't know. But the keys to victory for us, that's one of them. Not have our injuries beat us. The second one, catch the ball. you would think that wouldn't, that shouldn't be a key to victory, right? That should just be something they do. But no, it legitimately has to be something that needs to be a key to victory, is they need to catch the fucking ball when the ball's thrown to them. I mean, I get it. JJ hasn't been on his game of late, and he's thrown some wild balls. But when they hit you in the effing hands, catch the effing ball. Plain and simple. That's what you're supposed to do. You're a wide receiver. That is in your job. Your job title, your job description. Catch the ball. Run route. Catch ball. That's what a wide receiver does. I don't think it's too much to ask. A guy who's going to wear the number one on his jersey. The number one that somehow used to mean something to Michigan. He's going to wear that, and he's going to play like that. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace that he would wear the number one and go out there and play like that. Every week, go out there and play like that. Braylon Edwards would rather chop his knees off than play like that and wear the number one. Even a kneeless Braylon Edwards could play better than a fully healthy Andrew Anthony. It's just in my opinion. And I love the kid. I really want him to see. I was really a huge fan of this kid. But hey, if you're not good enough to be on the field, see you later. I am a fan of the greatness of Michigan football. And I don't care who does it. I don't care who pushes forward the agenda. I do not care. Do not care. But as long as you make Michigan great, that's all I care about. I just want Michigan to win. I don't care who does it. Catch the ball. Okay, so second, another one is build a wall around that red zone, right? Let them go apeshit anywhere. I mean, I don't care. Let them move the ball and make them earn every yard from 20 to 20. If they want to get a 20-yard pass, fine. Let them get a 20-yard pass. Limit the big plays. Limit the big 60-yard touchdown passes, right? Limit those. To eliminate those if you can. Just keep it from the 20 to 20. Make them earn it. I mean, long, painful drives if they have to. But when it gets to the red zone, field goal. Your red zone efficiency as a defense needs to be, like, super high. You have to eliminate any chance they have to score touchdowns in the red zone. You can do that, right? You make them trade field goals for touchdowns. We have a chance to win this game. We have a chance to blow them out, actually, I think. Right? But red zone efficiency on both sides of the ball have to be high. On our turn, when we're on offense, our red zone, if we cannot be trading field goals for touchdowns. Boom. Right there. We're going to win this in the red zone. Whoever stops the other team the most in the red zone is going to win this game. And I think that we have that chance. I think that's when you're going to see the defensive tackles really, really start to pay dividends. That's when you need Mason Graham to make big plays. That's when you need Mozzie Smith to dominate. That's when you need Chris Jenkins to be dominant. You need them from the 20 in to be a force. You need Stroud to be so nervous that he's in the red zone, because it's, you don't have much time. The yards are condensed. You can't run big, long, you know, long time consuming plays, any like delayed plays. You have to really be fast and efficient. And who can get to the quarterback faster than anybody? The defensive tackles. If we have great defensive tackle play, Stroud is screwed. Their running game is screwed. And I think we have three great defensive tackles. I really do. I can't wait to see what Mason Graham does. I can't. This kid's a freaking freshman, and he's dominating. He's dominant. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see what he does. It's going to be electric, I think. Especially with, you don't know what you're getting with Mike Morris just because of his injury. The one that can make CJ Stroud the most scared, the most nervous, make his feet get happy, is defensive tackle play. Stops the run, stops the Stroud from getting comfortable in the red zone. We shut down that red zone, close it down for business for the day. We win this game walking away. That's all it is. Big time. Stop the red zone. That's what we got to do. And then just make Stroud uncomfortable, right? And then offensively, run the ball, catch the ball. And if we do those things the way we can at Michigan, especially run the ball, if we do that, we're gonna win this game. We're gonna win, man. I'm telling you, because we played a better defense last week in Illinois, and before Corum got hurt, he had already rushed for 100 yards in the first half. This could have been an Heisman statement game last week if he hadn't gotten hurt. I guarantee you he would have gone for like probably 180, almost 200 yards rushing, and probably another 40 or 50 yards receiving. Big time Heisman solidifying game last week if Corum didn't get hurt. Look for him to want to make up for that this week. I mean, I don't care if I was him, I would get pumped with full of every pain reducing medicine I could have minutes before the game, and then in halftime as well, and then just worry about what happens later. But that's just me. So I'm gonna get out of here, guys. I know we're gonna win this game. I know we're gonna win this game. I know this might come back to bite me in the butt, but we're gonna win this game. All right, we're going to win the game 31-21. Michigan's going to win this game 31-21. We're doing it. This is going to be a great, great day for us. Whew. Can you feel it? I feel excited about this game. I don't feel scared. I feel nervous, but I don't feel scared. I'm excited. I can't wait to see what happens. Guys, it's great to be a Michigan Wolverine, isn't it? This is what the rivalry should be. This is how it's back. We're back. Everything's good. It's fun. It's exciting to watch the game again. It's great to be a Michigan Wolverine. And always and forever, guys, go blue.